Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Yeah, like I mentioned, today we're starting a new series about, it's called Ingredients for Healthy Relationships. I found out in grade 9 foods class that when you're baking, you need to remember certain ingredients. And certain ingredients are pretty important. That's probably an obvious thing, but I guess I found it out the hard way. I was baking a beautiful chocolate zucchini cake, and we were having all our parents over for this meal. And that was all I was in charge of. There was a big meal, and it was like, Brenton, you got the cake. And I did not add the baking powder or soda. I don't even know if there's a difference there, but I didn't add that. And it was a total flop. And it was just this flat little sheet of hardness. And someone's like, Brenton, did you forget anything? I'm like, no, I didn't. But I did. I didn't add the baking powder. And in the series on relationships, we're going to go over different ingredients that are really important for us to add if we don't want our relationships to be a flop, if you could say it like that. And the ingredient that I chose today is agape. It's the Greek word that we translate for love, but I very purposely wanted to talk about agape in this message because when we hear the word love in our culture, there's so many different definitions. If you look at the Webster's definition of love, it's a strong affection for another rising out of kinship or personal ties or an attraction based on sexual desire. So this is not really a great definition of agape. So I'm not just saying love, I'm talking about an agape love. And actually, if you look in the Greek language, they kind of separated love out into more words than we have. In English, it's like love is, you know, I love jam. And I love God, and I love my wife. I love hockey. We just pack love into all of those meanings. In Greek, they split them up a little bit more. And the four words for love in Greek are this: eros love, which is a romantic or passionate love; storge, which is a family love that you see between a parent and a child or siblings; phileo love, which is a brotherly love, a friendship and camaraderie; and then agape love, the selfless and unconditional sacrificial love. And C.S. Lewis wrote a book on these loves called The Four Loves. And he talked about it, and I think it was a really good point. He was saying that, you know, without agape, all of the other loves there, eros, storge, and phileo, they become twisted. They become something that's not good anymore. If you look at eros love, romantic love, probably in our culture, this is the love that we put over everything, right? It's the love that every Hollywood movie is about. And it's just the paramount love that rules all. You make all your decisions based on your eros love. But eros love can become unhealthy, right? It can lead to jealousy, obsession, idolizing the other person. And it really can become a god and its own religion. C.S. Lewis has a quote that says, "Eros, honored without reservation and obeyed unconditionally, becomes a demon." Yeesh, we don't want that, right? If you look at storge love, the family love, what a good love, right? We need that kind of love when our babies are crying in the middle of the night, that the mother would show that love in that way. And we could say, what's wrong with this kind of love? But at the same time, if it's not marked with agape love, there can be, again, an idolization of families. Or the family is the highest goal in my life. Instead of showing, instead of honoring God or giving love to God, my family is paramount and there's nothing higher than that. And then the family loses the purpose that it's created for. If you look at phileo love, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing. It's awesome to have friends. Who loves friends? We need that, right? It's a good thing. But at the same time, friendship groups can sometimes become cliquey and exclusive. And it's like, I like this guy, I don't like this guy. So you're in, you're out. Sometimes friends, we're just, We just, my friends anyway, it's like, let's just sit in front of a TV and watch football, and that's friendship. But we're missing the greater, higher meaning of what friendship was designed to be if agape isn't in all of those things. And C.S. Lewis said that agape love needs to be the gardener in all of these other areas of our life that tend to these loves so they don't just get wild and become not a garden. You can plant a garden, but if you don't tend to it, it's just weeds. Right? So agape needs to do this. And also, agape is this love that transforms the other loves and sanctifies them. It turns our family, our romantic lives, everything into this thing that actually can honor God with the purpose it was intended to. How many of you want that? I want that. That's cool. That's really amazing. And I think this is why God talked so much about agape and prescribed us to love with this kind of love. What is agape love? I briefly mentioned it, but it's the love of God. The best definition, true definition of agape love is just read your Bible and look at the love Jesus expressed to us. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated his own agape for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's agape love that God has shown and continues to show to us. It's the love that's unconditional, it's self-sacrificing, it's unwavering, it's extravagant, it's enduring, and it loves regardless of what it gets back. It's not concerned about what it gets back, it just loves freely. And this is the kind of love that if you've given your allegiance over to Jesus and you're a Christian, this is the love you're called to model. This is the love and standard that Jesus has loved us with, he's called us to love with as well. In John 15:12, it says, "Love each other as I have loved you." That's really clear, right? Jesus didn't say, "Hey guys, you really think you can love like me? Nah, so I'm gonna set the bar lower." No, he said, "Love as I have loved you," right? Ephesians 5:1-2 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." So we've been made dearly loved by God. God initiated all of this, and he's made us his children, and now we are to follow his example. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is what we're called to do. This is the love that we're called to model. We're not just called Christians for fun. We're called to represent Jesus and his love. Amen? And it's an awesome privilege that this is even possible, that we actually get to represent Jesus. Sometimes I say, man, I'm not worthy of that. And that's kind of true, but I'm still given this responsibility to model Christ and love like Jesus because he's made me new and put his love inside of me to extend to other people. I love what it says in Galatians 3:27, "All who have been united with Christ," and that's if you've given your life to him, you're united with Christ, "in baptism," so there was that death in baptism, that raising up to a new person, "you've now put on Christ like putting on new clothes." These are the clothes that we wear. We want to look like Jesus. Colossians 3 says, kind of continues this thought and says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another, with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love." Put on agape. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Put on agape. Put on agape, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We need to have this agape love and put it on. Anything that's not agape love, we don't want to put on. We've been given the honor of representing Christ. How many of you watched the Four Nations tournament that just ended? Let's go, right? Canada! And it was cool seeing and just hearing about the players and the honor it was to represent their country on the ice, right? One guy was even saying, why did you fight? I fought for my country, right? It was an honor that they put on the leaf and got out on the ice and served their country. And it's an honor for us to represent Christ. But what if, as Canada's preparing for the final game against the USA, they're getting dressed, they're getting hyped up, they're putting on their gear, and all of a sudden, as they go to put on their jersey, Sidney Crosby puts on the jersey of USA and skates out onto the ice. Would that be shocking? Be like, what are you doing? Bro, wrong team, you represent Canada. And again, in the life of a Christian, we represent Christ. So everything that's not agape love, it needs to be taken off. That's what it said earlier in Colossians. Put off the old and put on the new. We're called to wear agape love. Sometimes we say, I want to be my authentic self, right? You hear that kind of in the world. Be your authentic self. If your authentic self is a jerk, it needs to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? Everything, you know, everything in me that is not representing Christ needs to go, and the Spirit of God needs to transform me to put on Christ so I can wear agape love in my life, in every area of my life. Wear agape love. Wear it with your family. Again, sometimes our family, we be our true self, right? We can let our guard down. We can kind of be the real us. We don't have to pretend to be all polite and proper. We just get home and it's just like, this is me. Again, if this is you is not being loving, that needs to go. We need to put on agape. Don't wear different clothes when you get home. And sometimes that's hard with our family, right? Our spouse knows where our buttons is, and maybe sometimes you like to push those buttons, or maybe your siblings know where your buttons are and push those buttons. We have to commit to putting agape on. At all times, put on agape. When you're having a disagreement with your spouse, you need to wear agape. That's when we want to be self-seeking often, right? I want to get my way. No, don't take agape love. If you're talking about difficult things and navigating through problems that life faces, how many of you do that? If you have any deep relationships, you'll probably end up doing that at some point, or you're just burying it all under the surface. No, we need to deal with things. But keep agape on. Agape love is again, something that we have to put on. In our friendships, put on agape love. And if you're in a friend group where the culture is not agape and there's slander and gossip, don't fit into those clothes. Don't get comfortable putting on any other jersey. You represent Christ. In our romantic love, put on agape love. If we want to have a recipe for a good romantic life, it calls for 2 cups of agape. 2 cups of agape, not 2 cups of Webster's love. And honestly, sometimes we in our romantic life, we want to just apply 2 cups of Webster's love. It's feeling-based. Sometimes it's self-centered. Oh, my spouse doesn't meet my needs. No, apply agape in romantic love. Wear agape in the bedroom. This is where, if we're just being real, this is what we need, right? We need to put on agape love. Agape love is attractive, right? So try applying that to your romantic life. Agape love is what drew us to God. It's what wooed us in. So again, it's the love that needs to permeate all the relationships, all the areas in our life. There's not one moment where it's like, it's okay to not have agape on right now. Oh, when I'm arguing, then I don't have to wear it. When we talk about finances, then I take off agape. No, that's not how it works. We need agape love in our life. We need this selfless, self-giving kind of love. And we need to put this on. But I want to stop right here and just say, wow, that's hard. Amen? It's very difficult. If we look at 1 Corinthians 13, it's one thing to read this at a wedding. where everything's perfect, right? Everyone's dressed just right. All the flowers are in place and the birds are singing. And then you read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. Doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Isn't that a beautiful passage? That's a beautiful passage. But again, that's so hard. Because apply this when the spouse in your life isn't putting their best foot forward. That's hard. Apply this in an argument. Apply this when someone keeps making the same mistake again and again and again. Apply this when someone has no interest in doing this back to you. Ah, that's hard. Someone came up to me the other day and just kind of said, I have this person in my life that just is trying to get under my skin. How do I love them? Like, how does this work? I thought it was really real, a really real and raw question. And I think the answer is easy, but hard to live out. Again, we need to put on Christ, but we also need to recognize that this is God's love. God started this love. God loved us first. Amen. In Ephesians 5, it says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. I love that. It doesn't just say follow God's example, just live agape. It says, no, as dearly loved children. You were first loved. You were first embraced by God. The agape love of God made the first move to reconcile you to the Father so that you could be called his child, so that you could be loved by him. So as dearly loved children, let's follow God's example. Colossians 3 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. So again, it's God's love first in us that sparks all of this. Romans 5 verse 5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Think about that. God's agape is poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. So how do we do this? It's all through the empowerment and grace of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't give you anything on your Christian to-do list that's outside of the grace and empowerment of the Holy Spirit that's available to you, that's in you. And so we need to do our part of just saying, God, I need your help in all of this. God, this is so difficult. God, the old me dying doesn't want to die in front of this other person. God, give me your grace and love to partner with you so I can extend the agape love of God. Because the reality is we can't fabricate this, and we're not asked to. We're asked to remain in God and let his love move through us. Look at 1 John 4. It says, dear friends, let's love one another. That's the calling. Let's agape one another. For agape comes from God. Everyone who agapes has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not agape does not know God, because God is agape. It's kind of setting the standard for us, right? If we're Christians that aren't wearing agape, something's wrong. So something's off, because his grace is, if we really know love and know God and we're not extending that love, something is off here. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Isn't that beautiful? That God initiated this all. Agape made the first move and the second move and the third move. Dear friends, since God so loved us, so we also ought to love one another. No one, and this verse is so neat. It says, no one has ever seen God, but if we agape one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. There's something that we get to participate in the agape love of God. And it's completed, not just when you're loved, it's completed when you respond with that love and love other people's. There's this completion there. There's this pleasing thing that happens again when the agape love of God gets a hold of our hearts personally. And we personally look at the gospel and say, wow, God, you're so good. God, the fact that I can have a right relationship with you, the fact that you love me, the fact that your agape made the first and second and third move and has had patience with me, and you've extended your loving kindness towards me, thank you so much for that, God. And then it's the living that out in every area of our life. Every area of our life. And if there's areas right now in your life where it's hard to agape, let's get on our knees in those areas, amen? Let's say, God, I need help. God, the authentic self in me wants to punch this person. But I know that that person needs to die and Christ needs to be put on and rise and transform my life. So shape the way I see this person. God, you love them with a perfect love, so I need help. I need some of that love in my life. Amen? Let's stand and pray. God, thank you for your agape love. The self-sacrificing, unconditional, extravagant love of God. We wouldn't have a relationship with you if it wasn't for your agape love. Jesus wouldn't have come down. Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. There would have been so many places where he would have said, these people are worthless. But no, God, you are love. You're agape. And you loved us with that love, and that love brought you to come to earth to die for us on the cross so that we could be in right relationship with you. And now, God, in this wild truth, you've made us new and called us your children because you've lavished your agape on us. And now we get to represent Christ in our relationships. And Father, we pray that we would do that in our families, in our friendships, in every area of our life, our romantic life. May you be honored and glorified, and may we put on agape. And Jesus, we need your help for this, God. God, you set the standard so high, but you made your Holy Spirit available to us so that we could depend on your Holy Spirit. God, help us to depend on your Holy Spirit for this. May we get on our knees where our agape will always dry out. God, yours doesn't. So God, we just pray that you would give us a fresh anointing of your love and a fresh realization of, oh man, God, I need your help to do this. Walk with me, Lord, to love those that you've called me to love so your love can be made complete, God. That I would be loved by you so deeply and know you and love others, God. We pray that this would transform our relationships and bring glory to your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.